Blog Talk Radio.
The way and it's freaking out and looking at myself. But yeah, you're reading the chat. Yeah, it's crazy how people, like, I start to think, what would we do if the Knicks, like, went back to they didn't have a draft pick?
Yeah.
They, you know, it would be tough.
Yeah,
good, good. Yep, we got okay, good.
Seven, three. All right, there we go. Tech Nation, Tuesday night hit. Check in. And on tonight's episode, it's coming in hot and heavy. NBA and the Players Association coming in agreement on the season. We have a December 22nd start date, and a bunch of NBA calls have finally been revealed. Tonight's episode, we're going to break it all down, make it break down, salary cap number. Joining me tonight, my guy JB, a.k.a. Nick Stone Film, a.k.a. Daily Nick. He's all over the net. JB,
that's
how you
right.
doing?
I'm doing good. I change my Twitter name every day, but I'm doing good.
A lot of aliens. All right, so let's break this thing down. Couple of key dates. We have obviously the draft is on November 18th.
Yep.
The trade moratorium could be lifted, and have training camp starting December 1st. Open night, December 22nd. JB, how do you feel about the expedited time?
It's just crazy. It goes from being the longest offseason ever to the shortest working offseason, right? Like, obviously, the Knicks have been able to get coaches and execs, but not really any player movement. Now it all has to happen, you know, a month.
That's exactly. Now, salary cap is the same as last year. How do you think that impacts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Knicks have always been in a good position coming into the offseason because they have, you know, they have the ability to create the most cap space. So the fact that, you know, the cap doesn't rise at all, it puts the Knicks in a position that the team reports them out. You know, they could become that team that sort of greets the wheels for other teams to make moves. That 109 million cap old number, and I have my little piece in front of me that I always put out. They could create over $42 million cap. Say they can't do that. That would mean they'd have to get rid of basically everyone on non-guaranteed contracts, team options, and even doctrine. But the point is they can create a lot of cap space. So I think the number works in the Knicks' favor because, like I said, while everyone else is tight, they have plenty of room to work.
Now, how about salary, though? That was something that my guy, Jeremy Cohen, market doesn't look too good in terms of salary here. What do you think about how that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll let people even throw in the chat what they think. I mean, to me, it's about how do you feel about not just this year, but 21, 22, you know, going forward, multiple seasons taking on the top, right? So do you want to take on, I mean, you know, pick any big name. Like, let's put this all aside, but whether it's Russell Westbrook, Blake Griffin, you want to take on that salary beyond efficiency. And to me, the indication that I've seen at least is, you know, the Knicks don't mind this year kind of punting on signing with this guy or going to the stage. I don't, and this is not saying that they want to lose all their flexibility by taking on contracts for multiple years, so I think they're more going to look at, is there a guy they can take, like Mike Conley? doing, or even a guy that's not on a big contract, the team needs to move to make whatever they're trying to do work, and they just need $10 million off their books to come in and help.
Certainly need to look at a lot of so-called contenders. Mike Scott said yesterday that Philly could potentially got available. There, that rumor did have to stick, potentially Manny Scott. So a little lower tier salary dump, but something that can still help keep 3-point guns, fairly tough, fairly durable. So Mike Scott wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I think that's it. I think people are looking at, the extremes, right? Like, what's a big contract, a big contract over $20 million that Knicks can take? It seemed like Philly, but it was, Harris or someone like that. But, why not? There's plenty of people out there making $5, $10 million. So, like I said, these teams trying to do other things, they just need that little bit of wiggle room. And that's where I think you're going to find a skill.
Now, there was eight official the non-guaranteed contract. You have a number of guys that are kind of floating around. The options are non-guaranteed. You have Porter, you have Theo Pinson, and you have the non-guaranteed contract.
But then at that point, that sort of limits them only being able to use that space to sign a player or take salary completely into cap space. I think another approach the Knicks could take, think about, say, a Chris Paul or that, is you actually keep some of these salaries. So you keep the Culver Tate, you keep even a Bobby Portis. And it sounds crazy, like, well, why would you, Bobby Portis still have over $20 million of cap space selling time to, but now you can trade Bobby Portis, what will be an expiring contract, and take back 125% of that. So it's sort of like a tricky way to say, I'm going to spend my cap space up to the amount I want to spend it, and then I'm going to trade whoever I keep on a one-year deal to get back even more salary to go back. So I think it's possible you could see them do something like that. I know Jeremy Collins, we were talking about that today, and so I wouldn't just assume they're going to let everyone go completely open the book. I think they might try to use some of those salaries as expiring to make deals later on.
Yeah, and it might make sense. It's today's time frame. Might make sense to go that route as well. And then with the salary cap not much,
it has a lot of money, but someone like a Payton at $8 million, there's some value for a team there on firing deals. So those pieces you can use. It's sometimes easier to do that than to just try to acquire players in the space.
Yeah.
And as we're saying this, by the way, MSG training center is temporarily closed, and it's just now because Knicks employees have positive coronavirus.
Yeah, that is great because they did open.
Right.
So
that's right.
Harry Cap now closed because that positive coronavirus. They see that.
Yeah. No, hopefully. But this is, this is the new, I guess, well, not the new normal for a lot of us, but through March. But as we get the news, the week coming back, this is what happens.
Yeah, and this is why I can see the heavy vision match, bubble style match, and even these particular ML series type of match. And as I said, create show Friday. All right, let's see what Bulls are pre-trading. Phoenix, I think, took it as a potential sweep. They played well in the bubble.
Yeah, well, we're going Bulls for the pre-trading, right? That's where we're recording. That just came out. finally come. So, I mean, the Suns, I mean, you know, they went 8-0 in a bubble. We were talking about this a little before we started recording. What do you make of that? But obviously, with Booker, you want to get him, you know, another player.
Before he comes.
That's right. Especially now with the new connections we got, right? So,
yeah.
But, you know, the Suns are also in a position where they have Frank Kaminsky at a $5 million team option. They can create, you know, they would obviously have to send this back. So I think as a Knicks fan, your first thought, anytime you see another trade is, well, can the Knicks get Paul help out, can you pull a draft pick, something out of this? I think if you're talking about the Suns, they're a team that cap-wise are pretty well positioned, you know, to maybe make it deal work. That said, they don't have a lot, I'm looking at their props now, they don't have a lot of large salaries on their books other than Booker. So, you know, they definitely have to have make sure they create that extra $2 million space. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've seen with the Knicks, right, they're always a team that use help people, like, leverage and negotiations, and then we assume when the Knicks don't get the person, that is the only reason they were used. I do think the Knicks, because of Leon Rose, is serious about this ball, but I think he's not going to budge and just make a deal to make a deal. So if the Suns are not making a better offer, you know, I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. I love that.
I've been one that I've been big about the positives of getting a Chris Paul. I think for young players, it's, you know, we saw Fizdale, as much as no one wants to hear from Fizdale right now, and everyone wants him to get a haircut, too.
Hey, he's on his Bob Ross, please.
Yeah, which I can't say much because I'm letting my poop kind of off up here, too. But, you know, I think he raises a point that a lot of people get. It's one thing about going after a veteran player who's making a lot of money at the end of his career with pounds, LOL Knicks. Mitchell Robinson, RJ Barrett, if somehow they were to keep a 7-9, those guys thrive with a player like this Paul Playlist. So, you know, I think that makes a lot of sense. It just comes down to the price. If you don't want to underperform either for a guy that you're helping them salary wise.
Absolutely, man. Let's go to the phones, hear what the fans have to say. Let's go to my guy, Frank, from Colorado. He's been beasting to come on all day. Frank, what's going on, man? How you feel?
What's going on, CP? How you guys doing?
Doing all right, man. Let's hear it, Frank. How you feeling, bro?
Hey, man. Hey,
I've been
man.
Telling you since prior to the bubble.
Your man
is going to be in the Knicks.
He's going to be in the Knicks.
I'm telling you, the chat called me a crackhead. Now he's looking like New Jack City Pookie.
Leon Rose was brought here to absolutely bring a superstar. James Dolan wants it. He doesn't want to be the whipper boy for the media. Tom Thibodeau ain't trying to lose 50 plus games.
To me, this thing is going to make a lot of sense. I don't want it to happen because we're too much from a fan's perspective and not from the business side.
But it's not good for the fans.
It's not good for the basketball side.
And I want to leave you, if we do get Russell Westbrook.
R.I.P.
to R.J. Barrett's development.
So Frank doesn't want Brody to make the team better. He just wants Brody so he can be proven right. But Kevin O'Connor, the Ringer, he claims that there's sources out there linking Brody to the Knicks, maybe even the Clippers. I'm just not with it.
No.
What do you think about it? I mean, from a business sense, though, I don't see much of it either, with no fans.
No, I mean, I get the point. I mean, I guess you could argue MSG networks, because, look, you know, if there's fans, it's going to be very limited. So are you going to say that maybe more than ever? Because, the whole theory with Dolan is, I mean, they can just keep putting out a terrible product and people still come to the arena, both because there's diehard Knicks fans and because there's tourists and rich people who just pay to go there, right? Well, this year you might not have that, so you have television ratings where I think you do have – that is more contingent on having a good team or having star power. But I don't think that's enough that you say, you know, go get a Russell Westbrook, where everything we're saying about Chris Paul, yeah, he plays the right position, but he doesn't, to me, he doesn't bring the right type of game, and he doesn't play at the same type of level as Chris Paul.
Yeah, I agree. See what happens. Shout out everybody. Chat, hit that. Again, probably 880 chat buzzing. Shout out Mellow Felt Chat. Shout out John Clement, which is scenario. Graham from New York. Graham, how you feeling, bro?
Hi there.
Let's go to Ari. Ari, what's going on, man?
Was it like a 5-year-old trying to call him?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I wasn't taking that one, man. I wasn't too sure about that one. What's going on?
Not much, man. I don't know who's that call. That caller said Russell Westbrook's coming to the Knicks. I'll tell you right now, Russell Westbrook comes to the Knicks. There's no more Ari on Knicks Fan TV. I'm calling it quits. I'm giving up my fandom. I'm putting it on pause for 4 years if Russell Westbrook comes to the Knicks. I could give you a million different ways to spend $45 million better than just giving it to Russell Westbrook and having him run and shoot the ball 90% of the time and stunt everybody else's growth and become an 8 seed and then get stuck in mediocrity forever and get no lottery picks and get swept in the first round. That is the worst take ever. That's the same thing like Mr. San Diego's take. Get Russell Westbrook. Horrible take. Chris Paul is a much better option. His deal is much more team. It's an expensive deal, but it's only a 2-year deal. He actually makes the players around him better. And this is what the San Diego kid said, that I'm trying to tank. I'm not trying to tank. I just don't think giving $45 million to Russell Westbrook as a 31-year-old on the backside of his career, seeing how exposed he got in the playoffs because he can't shoot the ball, is the best way to spend the money. I would rather give it to Chris Paul, have him develop the players because he'll get the entire team to perform better because he's a real leader. He's a true point guard. Everyone's shooting percentage will go up with because of Chris Paul. He'll hold everyone accountable, and he won't shoot the ball every time, all right? So I don't want to tank, but I just don't think Russell Westbrook is the answer. I know Russell Westbrook's not the answer. So, you know, that's my take with that. The other thing I wanted to say is that it's very – like, here's the thing. The Knicks have to decide if we're going to try to make a run on the 2021 free agents or not. If we're not trying to make a run on the 2021 free agents, then we should take as much bad contracts as possible for 2 years or shorter and acquire assets. But if we're not going to go for the 2021 free agency – well, I mean, if we are going to go for the 2021 free agency, then we should try to make a move for Chris Paul or try to package some assets for another all-star. But Russell Westbrook is not – that's just terrible. I can't even get into that. And then the other last thing I want to say is that I think it's very, very important that Julius Randle is off this team before the first day of the season because, like Jay Ellis was saying the last time he was on, you know, we need to feature R.J. Barrett or, you know, whoever the star player we bring in is. We cannot have Julius Randle shooting the ball, turning the ball over, and messing with, you know, the team chemistry. So I would get rid of him too. But definitely no Westbrook. I'm down for Chris Paul, and Randle has to go before the beginning of the season. That's my take.
All right. Ari coming with the smoke.
What did you see today that when they announced that, you know, everything was official, the Knicks tweeted out, "We back," and they had Mitch, RJ, and Randle in there. But you know what's funny? People were like, you know, why get on Randle, like Randle's percentage. I'm not saying Randle is not a good player in the right role. I'm just saying I'm not excited about Julius Randle being, you know, a piece on this team right now. Maybe depending on how they reach the roster talk, finds the right role, great, that's fine, but it doesn't get me excited.
Yeah, I agree. And for the Randle page, well, not for the Randle, for Randle's defense, right? I think they get it just that it hates that you know, trash. I think there is talent, a lot of talent, but again, it's their hip.
This thing is coming in crazy. All right, let's talk to
Justin from Baltimore. I haven't heard from Justin in a minute. How you feeling, bro?
What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, CP?
Hey.
I work the elections down here in Maryland, so that's why I've been gone. I ain't been able to talk to y'all. But I wanted to discuss the CNA rumor, Obi Toppin, the Knicks taking interest. It's kind of interesting to me that now it's being put out that they're interested in him. I would like to see what y'all thought of that. And if so, do you think the Knicks can try to, like, get a point guard in the mid, in between 14 area for a nice trade? See if they can get Tyrell Terry in between that 14, like, 20 pick. And that's pretty much all I have to say, man. I'm just ready for the 18th. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with the Knicks, man. Peace. I appreciate y'all having me on. What's up, Jeff?
Appreciate it. Yeah, what's up, man? And, Abe, appreciate you doing the election and whatever your phone works or whatever you are. That's right.
He's got to wait. He's got to make
That's
sure.
That's right. Oh, I know. Well, no, the thing with me when watching this whole thing unfold, it's like, forget the politicians. It's like people doing that work, they're the real heroes. In all seriousness, appreciate that. Yeah, no, shout out Jonathan Macri, Nick's old buddy there. He has said the same thing. If Toppin's there, then Nick can take him. But I just don't see that he's there. But, should the Knicks trade up to get him? I think if they're trading up, they're going more for. What's interesting is, with LaMelo Ball, there was so much noise about their interest in him, early on, and that really died down. We haven't heard any sound of the rumors. Like, if you hear something, if the Knicks were to do something, we're not hearing rumors about it. Like, oh, that came out of nowhere. When in reality, it's like, well, half these rumors are founded. Maybe it's just Rose didn't leak it out. But I don't think they're trading up to get, a top, and I think they would only do that, more like a target.
I'm just ready for draft. One day you're hearing the mellow flip, next day you're hearing the clock. So it's 5 a.m. now. Revenue, you're past PRI, that.
Yep.
You're past both. Things like Gloria, like, they could stand a bench.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I think, and then also whether you then get capped at 8, which is about $6 million above the cap. So, to me, it's one thing about teams that's not wanting to pay the amount. It's how the league helps them out with that, which is the time we're in, is one thing. But it's also about what you can do, how that limits signings you can make, what to add that one more piece. And I think because so many teams are right up against the cap, that mid-level exception amount is very competitive, or the non-taxpayer. That makes a big difference when they have that final.
I agree. And Holiday, I wouldn't mind bringing him back. I felt like he should have never let him go.
Yeah.
and then Mike, he'll help. I'm on the RE train. They bring in him. Hey, I might.
Yeah. Well, that will be, though, I think, is that, how much is that really going to cost? So
yeah.
If he becomes, the last guy they sign in,
low-end rotation guy, please.
Right. If they pay too much, if they pay anything over that just for what we just described, I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's too much New York bricks. Get Nike. Need a shooter. I need a shooter.
Yeah, desperately. Let's keep it in the Poconos. Let's go to the Poconos. Josh in the building. What's going on, man?
What's on, CP3? CP, what's going on? CP?
How you feeling, bro?
Good, man. Do you guys really think it's realistic that CP3 might come to the Garden for real?
I mean, I think anything's possible. One of the things we're just not sure what the Knicks are thinking. Again, what is CP3's motivation?
Right.
Does he want to come to a basement dweller like the Knicks, or does he want to try to compete for something? I don't think it's all clear. So I think anything's possible.
what do you think we would be able to give up, though? You, I mean, I'd give away like a Knox, a Dennis Smith, you know what I mean? But do you really think – my question is, how many years are we going to have him for? Two?
Yeah, it would be the 2 years left on the deal at 80-something million, 85 million, I believe.
Crazy.
Yeah, right.
Crazy.
2 years. And then I think that, to me, we've heard Knox. We've heard one of the Dallas first-round picks.
Yeah.
I think the Knicks
right.
are trying to
right.
maybe get another salary in there. So, what? I mean, if you could get – if they could somehow get Julius Randle – because remember, Randle, his deal looks bad, but he only has in the second year, I think it's $4 million guaranteed.
Mm.
So, it's not that
right,
bad
not
of
bad.
A deal. But
right,
I think,
it's not bad.
Right? So, but I think with the Knicks, it's like – it's one thing about getting Paul, but it's another about, like, can you move Randle, whether in that deal or in a separate deal, to give you some more flexibility to
right.
put talent around
right.
him.
Yeah, you need
beyond the young guys.
Right,
sure.
Randle would have to be
sure.
in that deal for me. Again, not happy about losing young guys, but if you're going to have to trade Knox, considering there's a good chance
gotta
you're going to end up with a win
gotta
in
do
the draft, whether it's Vassell, whether it's Okoro, I think Knox's playing time is going to be an issue anyway. So – you know, if they have to do it, I wouldn't like it, but it is what it is. For CP3, I would take.
Right. One other question.
Yeah,
how
go ahead,
do you guys
bro.
Think that
how
I
do you
would
guys
sit next to Mitch?
Listen, I think defensively, that was where Mitch could help him. Obviously defense is Obi's biggest weakness, and I think that's where Mitch can kind of help cover him.
Right.
Especially from a team defense standpoint. And offensively, I think if he could step it outside, he shot 40% from three, you know, so I think if he can maintain that pace, I think it'd be fine. I think that pairing would be okay. JB, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can work, especially he's come, you know, he's obviously young. Both of them are young players. They can evolve around each other. But, I mean, I do think that you're making that pick more of like you just think this guy is going to – because, remember, we all – when we're looking at the draft, we're all like, well, who fits and, you know, who do we like? It's like every time that when we look back, like 5-10 years from now, when we look back at draft, at the drafts, all you're doing is you're saying who turned out to be good. So meaning, you know, is he going to – does he end up being like an all-star player? Then you don't really care how he necessarily fit because you're going to look at these picks and say, geez, Toppin was the only guy at the top eight that turned out to be any good. That's usually kind of how it goes. So to me, it's like I'm really looking at it in terms of do you think he can develop into that type of a player? And I'm less worried about how he'll fit in like the next year or two where – I mean, quite honestly, with Mitch, I mean, he's still learning.
Yeah.
He's still learning how to stay out of foul trouble, how to stay on the floor. Like, he's got a lot to go. So I'm not going to, like, prevent myself from drafting a player I think is good, you know, while, you know, when I don't even know 100% sure that Mitch is necessarily the, you know, I'm a big Mitch
yeah.
fan. But I'm just
yeah.
saying you don't know that 100%
yeah.
sure.
Roster is so much in flux that I think we do kind of get caught up in fitting a lot of these prospects with what's on the roster right now, even outside of RJ and Mitch. You know, so sometimes you look at it and say, yeah, it's not that great of a fit. But, you know, even in Okoro's take, even in Okoro's case, you know, the shooting, again, is a big concern for me because
yeah.
I don't like the fact that you have him and RJ out there shooting 60-some percent from the free throw line and getting to the bucket is the name of their game. But I do feel like, you know, Tibbs' success here is going to be predicated, yes, by wins and losses, but also how well we play defense. And in an Okoro type for Tibbs to go out there and get kind of his quarterback of the defense, you know, that's going to get
yeah.
out there, execute, be able to help on the weak side, you know, whatever Tibbs has in store, whatever defensive schemes he has drawn up, to have your players out there that can execute will certainly be a benefit. So I wouldn't count Okoro out for the Knicks at eight for that reason.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, and taking a wing player that gives you, you know, we're talking about fit, if we do go back to that, you know, gives you some versatility in how that player ends out evolving into your lineup versus if you go, you know, with a big that you're kind of limited in terms of, you know, because you know you have Mitch there, right? So, you know, I could see Okoro being a pick for them.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, like I said, the shooting, it's a little little iffy, man, but I could see it happening, though.
We're just all begging for shooting at this point.
We need
so
shooting.
Funny.
We need shooting. And yeah. Speaking of which, my guy, top of my list, is Davis Bertans, because it was reported earlier this week by NBA Sports down in D.C. that there's a number of teams looking for Bertans, not just in free agency, but potentially signing trades.
Mm-hmm.
So his market could be heating up, but I mean, when you talk about three-point guns, I don't think it gets any better than this in this free agent crop, man. What's your take on Bertans?
Yeah, no, and I think he sat out in the bubble, right, because he kind of knew this payday was coming. He didn't want to risk it. We saw, like, someone like Steve Novak come in here and shoot lights out. I go back and forth sometimes with how you fill the shooting, where it's like, do I want to – pay
how much you pay for that?
Yeah, like, do I want to pay a big amount for something that I can maybe find in the draft? I can maybe find a guy who he doesn't do a whole lot else, but he's going to come in, he's going to stretch the floor for me. And even some of these veteran guys, I mean, I think, you know, again, you can't say, you know, Carmelo Anthony's name without having all this other stuff wrapped around it, but it's just like, just you can get veteran shooters relatively cheap that will come in and maybe he's not the perfect example, but I'm just trying to say you can get guys, you know, who can still shoot towards the end of their career to come in. I don't know if I would want to overpay. That premium. But yeah, no, you're right. But like someone like a Joe Harris, I mean, look, we know the Nets are up against the tax. Maybe that matters, maybe it doesn't, but it's going to be really expensive to keep him.
Yeah.
I like, you know, making an offer, you know, going that way. But like I said, I just hesitate a little bit in terms of like, we need shooting. So let's just like overpay for the best possible shooter out there. And that's like really what he does is shoot. And it's just like, you know, the shooters, you need shooters around your star players.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't be the ones that end up being the most expensive guys on your roster.
Yeah, especially for him. He's a specialty guy. Really doesn't do much else. Defense,
right.
You know, you can bully ball him. 56% from the corners last two seasons, 75% from 30 feet and beyond, and 42% overall in 8.7 attempts. It's enticing, man. It's definitely.
Yeah. Well, that attempt number, I mean, geez, I guess I'm still old where I'm like, when I see those numbers, it still jumps out at me. Like, that's crazy.
He only averaged two twos a game.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy.
Twos per game and 8.7 threes. He's letting it fly, JP. I'm with
him.
But yeah, Harris would be nice because, you know, just a better all around player. And I like his grittiness as well. For me, the Nets, I'm eagerly anticipating what they do if they go get Drew Holiday and, you know, how that impacts Harris. You know, I want to see how Harris, if Harris shakes loose and if they trade Dinwiddie. I'd love to see them trade Dinwiddie for talking all that nonsense against the Knicks. I'd love to see him get shipped out to Siberia, you know, the architect of the KD deal, and see him, you know, stick a knife in his back and send him out west. Let's see how that works. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys again. 1,200 people on the check-in. CP from Knicks Fan TV checking in. My guy, JB, Jeff Ballone of Daily Knicks, Knicks Film School as well. Make sure you follow them on Twitter, subscribe to the newsletter and everything. Make sure you subscribe to the channel as well. All right, a couple more calls. Let's go to Josh from San Diego. Josh, what's going on, bro?
CP, JB, how y'all doing today, man? Hey, man.
Good, man.
Hey,
what's going on, bro?
Not much. So it's just a couple things I want to say. I mean, everyone in the chat knows I'm for the, you know, the Russell Westbrook trade or even the Chris Paul trade. I think you can't go wrong with either one because the Knicks need, first and foremost, a talent upgrade. There's some significant talent missing on this roster, and I feel like going out and getting one of those guys definitely improves the team from a talent standpoint. Second of all, the notion that it's somehow Russell Westbrook's fault that the Houston didn't get past the Lakers or that they fell on their face in the playoffs is absolutely absurd. He was playing in the Mike D'Antoni system. They had him sometimes playing as the five. Houston didn't have any type of bigs, and there's no way they were going to beat the Lakers. The Lakers had three legit bigs that they can legitimately put out there to dominate in the paint. So how can you blame Russell Westbrook as if it was his fault that Houston didn't do well in the playoffs. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I feel like Russell Westbrook's ability to be that engine will galvanize the troops around him and help R.J. Barrett more than it would hinder him. If Russell Westbrook is coming to this team by himself, the Knicks need to put some shooters around him because I feel like putting shooters around would definitely, you know, improve everyone's situation on the team. If the Knicks had sufficient shooting last season, everything would have been way better. We wouldn't be having this conversation. But blaming Julius Randle and saying players like Russell Westbrook would hinder R.J. Barrett's, you know, his future, I just don't think that's true. I think we need to look at it in a more realistic sense and, you know, continue to build the roster. Russell Westbrook is not an end-all, be-all for this team. Chris Paul's not an end-all, be-all for this team. We still need shooting, just like you guys said. So I'm for Russell Westbrook coming here and Chris Paul and anybody that can definitely make the talent better on this team, because that's at the end of the day is going to make us go further.
Yeah, no, and two things. One is, I agree, because they need talent. And I think Knicks fans, it's a large group, you know, especially on Twitter, that it's like, you know, the idea that, like, Knicks could, like, acquire veteran talent is always bad. Got it all the draft, nothing. And it's like, no, you know, you need to put talent around your young players to help yourself. So I agree with that. I guess with Westbrook, for Paul, even if we put aside, even if Westbrook has that extra year, so the question is, would you sign him? He is a free agent. Would you sign him for 3 years, $132 million? Because that's what he has coming. 3 years, $133 million. No one would sign that contract. So then you're saying, well, are you getting a sweetener when you make a deal? Are you getting a draft pick? So
they have nothing left.
That's the concern. Right. No, I mean, right. They don't, right. So it's just like, to me, if he took off that player option that he's gotten at last year where it's $47 million and it was similar to Chris Paul where it was 2 years, then I think you can have a better comparison over, you know, which game you prefer and we can get into all that. But when you add that third year, it makes it really hard.
It's terrible. You know what I mean?
And you got to talk about him every day.
It's terrible, man. You still got to have patience. Got to get at it. Come on, man. I feel the pain. The talent is for basketball. I'm not feeling it. Bro. I don't know. JB, how you looking on time? So 4 minutes before?
Yeah, we got a 4 minutes.
All right, here we got 1340 in the chat. All the way climbing all the way up, man. I think Ari's call might have set off the chat. Started sharing the video once Ari came in and laid down the ball. Him and Josh, they kind of have like a little beef. Got some beef cooking. Josh is going to be hard. They're on a collision battle. Got to go. That's it. All right. Let's go to Chris, my guy Chris. San Antonio, what's going on, bro?
Hey, how you doing, CP and JB? How you doing?
Good, man. What's going on, bro?
I'm doing pretty good. I was calling because I want to talk about Kira again. I have a wish to manifest him as the eighth pick, so I wanted to ask both your opinions on something. I was reading an article from Adler Almo from Empire Sports Media, and he was giving some good insights and some background on Kira. And one of the things that I thought was a funny takeaway from that was Coach Nate Oates had called a few times and talked about him, and he mentioned that his coaching philosophy was max effort, continuous growth, and selfless love, whatever that means. I think that's kind of interesting and funny, but I think it's really good that he had them playing that NBA fast-paced offense, and I think that that's something that Kira can translate. You guys were talking a little bit about shooting. We need shooting on the team. And I think that that's an underrated part of his game. Excuse me, an underrated part of his game. A lot of people think that, you know, his speed stands out, but I think his catch and shoot is definitely high percentile. And I noticed from some charts that I saw that his corner threes are 57%. So I think he's a bucket from out there too. I also think something that's not being really magnified as much as it should is how early he went to college. That article also touched on that. He was 17 his entire freshman year, and they talked about how he was a bit shy, you know, going to college. I get shy calling into this show, so I can understand being a starting point guard and an SEC team at 17. I'm wondering what you guys think about that. And I noticed his growth, obviously, between years, and at the end of this year, you've seen a lot of growth from the beginning of the year, especially from having a new coach and Coach Nate Oates. He definitely is a player I think we should target, and I think the biggest thing about that is that he shows a lot of interest in New York, with the fact that they had the FaceTimes and Coach Nate Oates continues to talk about him in regards to New York, with the dinner especially as well. I'm wondering if any other prospect has that kind of relationship and how you guys feel about him kind of showing that interest and wanting to come to New York, because I think it's definitely real. I don't think he just wants to come to New York, you know, to try to raise his draft stock. I think it's something that he wants to do, as we can see from the fact that he, you know, stayed in college an extra year, and the fact that he went to college early. I think that, that shows that he makes these kind of decisions based off basketball and not just off of popularity or you know, the outside noise in New York.
A lot of intrigue there. You know, how much importance you put on the concept of one player. I'm always a little skeptical of that, because as a Knicks fan, we've lived through too many press conferences, whether it's coaches or players, talking about their dream to play here, and it doesn't always amount to much. But you know, that said, you do want to, I think, look at it demeanor of a player to take them. Like you said, when you're young, they handle the pressure. It is different to playing here than going to play in Charlotte here in Backdrop. So I do think that is.
Well, you know, and what I've got from that intangibles. Boys, now JP, autumn is in the air. Advanced people, and that's with the long noise. And if I may, show guys, open bench, weight, aerodynamic, JP, air, wireless, LED light, extra battery light.
Go to JB. J Boogie in North Carolina. What's going on, bro?
What's good, everybody? CP, my man JB, the whole wave, everything. Knicks Fan TV. Hope everybody's staying healthy and safe. Y'all know my lingo, man. God bless. We got a new presidency. I haven't spoken to y'all since then. You know what I'm saying? But shout that out, too. Just to throw something out real quick and easy to y'all, because, you know, I'm down here in NC for those that don't know. Hey, that boy Ingram won his own team. I'm just going to throw that out there. He won his own team. Now, my man that's talking about the chat, yeah, we calling you Pookie and stuff. Yeah, take him downstairs and blow the building three times. We don't need no Russell Westbrook on this team. James Dolan do not need no business. The Garden been sold out during our worst years. We need a team in Madison Square Garden. We don't need a name. We need a team. And if we go get a veteran player, the only veteran player we can get on this team is CP3, because he know how to make the team better. He know how to make the locker room come together. He know how to do all that. Don't forget what he did with them bums down there in New Orleans. He should have been MVP that year. This year, what he did in Orlando, in Oklahoma, that was crazy. But I'm with you, CP. I like that boy Bertans. I like him. That's a good free agent signing. But our number three and our number five, that's our future. That's all Barrett and that's Mitchell. That's our future. The three and the five is sold up. But you can put that boy Bertans, and I keep telling y'all about that boy Naismith. The boy averaged 23 points a game. He shot 52% from the trade point line. He averaged 6 rebounds per game and 1 block. That is the young Klay Thompson. He's a sniper. We need a sniper. I need CP. Bring CP to run that and go ahead and grab Trae Young later on in 27. And in the second round, go ahead and grab that boy quickly. That's 2 young guards that he could take up on his wing. And I'm going to let y'all know another little secret. CP only want to go to New York, and he only want to go to L.A. Don't be surprised if he opt out in New York for the 21 free agency and bring some other players to come with him. That's what nobody is not looking at. CP don't need no money. CP is already rich. CP want his own thing. And if he come to New York, I would not be shocked if he opt out for 2021 and bring a couple more players with him and get the guard back on fire, man. Shout out to y'all. Y'all take care of yourself. Peace and love, man.
He's ready to go.
He's ready for the season.
Yeah, man. God. So, from North Carolina. Big pack down. So, these pitches.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but this past week, Jonathan Macri, writing a newsletter, if you're following this show, probably going to put through Nick Film School, it's now going to be paid, you know, the man deserves to, you know, just make some money off his hard work he's been doing for a long time. But check out the newsletter at nickfilmschool.substack.com. To me, it's more than worth it. You're getting an email every single day, and you get in-depth articles from him. I'll be helping him out a little bit when he starts back to my film breakdown. But you get a lot there. I'm promoting that tonight from Max. Check that out. And then also, if you are a fan of the original Nick Film School Twitter account, one that got suspended right before free agency in 2019 and told us that good things weren't coming, we brought that back. Now we're at Nick School. Before that, Nick, thanks for having me on, CP. This is fun.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And I think last year, you were the first one that came on the show. Maybe a couple of years ago, Nick's Film School was really starting. And because there was no faith behind the game.
Yeah,
I think
right,
you were right. Dave, you got the first foot. And so beyond that, the Nick's Film School. And as you said, man, make sure you guys got it. But Matt, JP, the old detective. Show by insight. Tomorrow night's show, CK2K joining us tonight, Corey Powell, off the Herald. Last show in the draft, so head draft, so round some hot draft. Those that couldn't get close in the draft tomorrow night, tonight, back to the draft tonight. And as I said, we today got chat. Someone shows the fans by the way. Patriots, Fred, Allison, Lopez, all quick. Let's go. It's me. See you guys tomorrow. Same time.